Hello, this is Lisa Meister. I'm an SRA survivor. And today, coming back for the second time, I am thrilled to introduce John Smith. Welcome, John.
Thank you, Lisa. How are you?
Doing great. I was so happy with our last talk. And we talked a lot about dissociation and DID, which is dissociation disorder. And it's very confusing to people. It's confusing to survivors. It's confusing to people that don't know anything about SRA, and it's very confusing to ministers who want to help people that are survivors and they encounter DID. So I was hoping you can help us clear a lot of these things up today as you tell us about your experience and how it has affected you. So how long ago did you start dealing with your dissociated parts?
I started recognizing them probably about 3 or 4 years ago.
How did you recognize them?
Through two major incidents. There are two I shared last time, but I'll just reiterate them. The first one was my daughter and I were out playing in the snow with our truck. I got this truck stuck and I got angry and just started raging on her. And I could see myself doing this, but I could not stop. And I just kept going. And when I finally did stop. And when we did, my daughter looked at me and she said, "Dad, you're scaring me and your eyes are bloodshot." And at that time, I'm like, okay, this isn't right. I need to do something, or what's going on? And then it was probably a year later, I was at church and I dissociated on our pastor at the time. He was talking about spiritual warfare. And after church, I went up to him and basically just yelled at him for not talking about spiritual warfare before. And during that time, I could also see myself saying all this and not being able to stop it. So for me, a lot of my dissociation is usually not being able to stop my mouth and stop what I'm saying.
So you gave me kind of your definition of dissociation. Can you share that with us?
Yeah, going someplace in my mind because I don't like where I'm at.
That's a really good definition situation. Because if there's triggers, right? So with your daughter, it was getting the truck stuck. With your pastor, why didn't you give me this information I needed before? So there's a trigger that makes you uncomfortable. So instead of like, I hate using the term regular person, let's say a non-SRA person deals with
there
it,
you go.
They would just say, "Okay, Pastor, I really wish you had done this before because I really needed this information." But for us to dissociate means that we're feeling danger.
Mm-hmm.
And then we check out.
Yeah. Yeah, I was overwhelmed, I think, with the information at that time with the pastor. And with my daughter, it was just feeling helpless. And those are two big triggers for me.
Right.
Feeling overwhelmed and helpless. Yeah. And and I just didn't want to be in that situation, just make it better.
So 3 years ago, what was it? Okay, you said, okay, I'm dissociating. What am I going to do? Because it's not like you can go Google, what do I do when I find out I have dissociated parts, right?
I didn't even get that far. I just knew I got to stop doing this. Because I went back to my pastor and apologized. But then I'm like, I got to figure this out. What's going on? Because it just wasn't right. And I'd done counseling in the past and things like that. And nobody had picked up on it. I got labeled several other things besides being dissociative. I got into doing the Emmanuel approach with DaCosta, like I shared last time. And that started opening some doors and helping me realize what was going on. And then myself and three other people went and saw Marcus Warner up in Chicago. He was giving a seminar up there. And when I got back, I sat down during my prayer time and I don't know if I asked God or I don't know. Anyways, I had like 8 parts come out and I named them and wrote down their roles and what they did. And to me, that was very freeing. It also helped me accept the fact, maybe I do dissociate, since I just named 8 people that I had not known before.
So Is it a little bit intimidating?
No, it was relieving, to be honest. I haven't found any of this to be intimidating, which is interesting because to me, it's just a relief because I struggled and trying to figure myself out. Because I'm always one that's been, I like to learn. I like to know what's happening and I want to solve things and figure things out so I can understand them. So it's a relief. I enjoy my parts. I smile because some of them get me in trouble. Some are very ornery and I'm learning to keep them in check. So no intimidation. Just relief. And actually, I think there's joy in it. I am now normal in my mind.
So where does the joy come in then?
Oh, that God loves me and this is who I am and it all makes sense. I just keep going back to that. It just all makes sense. I dissociate. That explains so much of what I do and my behaviors in the past and present. And it's also helped me since I've come to realize that I dissociate, that I can control it a little bit better or be more aware when I'm doing it. And also, I can prepare myself like, hey, this is going to be stressful. Therefore, we're going to keep ourselves in line and the best that we can and work through this and, good self-talk. The joy is, freedom.
So once you had those 8 parts, how mm-hmm. did you help them? Okay, so just identifying is huge. That's big.
Yep.
So we've got a part. Let's say we have part number 1. What do you do?
I don't know what I do. I'd rather answer what I did. Okay. It was just kind of sat back and said, that was neat, interesting. And I went back and shared it with other people and that were safe for me. Shared it with Dick and we kind of worked through it. Now, what I do with them is I have, I call it Jesus tree, where they can go to be healed. They can go to Jesus and then work with Jesus because most of them are young. And then they can go play on the tree with him for however long. So that's usually what we do with the parts. And then they can come and go as they please. Most, when I need them, or if they just, I guess want to visit, you could say that, but yeah. They go to Jesus, and he heals them as he's healing me. And,
Well, how does he heal them? So some people go back into parts usually hold a ritual or they have a specific job where kind of across the board they're doing. So if they're in a ritual, does he go into the ritual and talk to them about what's going on? Do they tell what they know? How do they heal?
Yeah, I would go back and revisit a memory that Jesus would give me to walk through. And they would basically share their story and share their pain, and then kind of at the end of that memory, it's like, do you want to go see Jesus? I give them the option, and they almost always say yes. And then they go sit on his lap usually, and he takes their pain, and he accepts them, and that's a big one for me, not being accepted. All those parts being accepted. So he accepts them and, and that memory it loses its, not significance, but it's pain per se. It's a good way to put it. And that part is, is healed.
Do you find that those parts tend to have a cult programmed idea, I am bad?
Some do, some don't.
The bad stuff, things like that.
Some do, some don't. I don't always do a lot of the lie-based thinking repair. That's a good way to put it. But more of them, I think, just have a role they're doing. Like the ones that are taking over when I couldn't, you know, that are going to take the abuse, or going to take or have to do the horrible, despicable things that I had to do. More of it's just a role. Every once in a while, I get challenged some thinking, maybe the way I would put it. I don't know. For me, a lot of it is just walking back through the memory and healing them and giving them voice.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you find that they're still stuck in the ritual when you go back to get them out?
Yes. That's usually where I meet them. I'm thinking most of them I do.
Right. Same with me. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you can be real scary because, you know, like with yelling, for you, you know, that's out of the panic that they're going through. Like, oh no, I'm helpless all over again. This is still continuing. So to get them out is showing them, look, we're not helpless now. You know, mm-hmm. Like for me, I'm an adult now.
Yeah.
You know, I'm saved. I've got God on my side. He's going to help us strategize to get through this situation. And, you know, then we can problem solve together instead of this child part that's still stuck in a ritual, terrorized. There were no options back then. There was no way out. So that helpless feeling is really bad for survivors.
Mm-hmm. I had two thoughts go through my mind on that. One was the trigger of feeling helpless and overwhelmed and powerless. As I look back, I built a house of 10, 12 years ago during that time. And I was unfortunately very angry during that time because I just felt overwhelmed constantly. But now as I look at it, I realize that was my parts, like you just said, that child taking over, getting triggered by that, and, you know, not being able to, I guess, adult myself through that at that time. Then the other thought was, I lost it. Let's see.
The helpless.
Yeah, the helpless, but I think the difference between what I hear you saying and what I'm saying, I think yours is more verbal. Mine's more action, which is interesting.
Yeah. I don't know,
the male or female side or whatever, but it's not a lot of language. It's more action and I guess maybe just listening, which would fit my personality. I like to listen. That's what I do.
Right.
Listening to them. But yeah. So.
I think dissociation is incredible as a child. I think it's very messy as an adult.
It's a wonderful, beautiful thing as a child. Yes, I agree. Because I can't imagine where I'd be without it if God didn't give us that gift. Well, I know where I'd be. I'd be on the floor in a puddle. But yeah. And I never would have made it to this point.
Right.
But yeah, those great. Go ahead.
You've been working on this 3 years.
Yep.
Are you integrating?
I don't know if that's important to me.
So not everybody is there or thinks they should.
Yeah, I don't care if I think I like to look at it as I'm healing. I've realized I have three core parts. But maybe my integration would be going to the tree. And that's probably how I would identify integration. Because I think, and this is just, I haven't put a lot of thought on this, but I think you can focus too much on the integration and not accepting the gifts of the parts.
Right.
And that's what I want to focus on. integration isn't the end goal for me.
So what strengths from the parts have you noticed that you forgot?
Strengths of the parts would be my resiliency, if I can say that, tenacity, happiness, sense of humor. I'm smiling because, yeah, I'm partying as we talk right now. And I can see my friends yelling at me like, no, you can't come out. But strength would be another one. And I think wisdom's in there.
Sure.
Yeah.
So how do you work your inner system then? Is there a John that's in charge and you decide who comes out, or is it just your parts are popping out as they feel like, okay, this is my time. You need, John needs me. Here I am.
Well, a little bit of everything there. John tries to be in control. Tim is my main part. I put him in control sometimes at work. Then there's, especially if I'm having a bad day and I have a part, what I call is parted, when I parted, when I dissociate, something's triggered me at work. And I let Tim take over and just give me the rest of my day so I can concentrate. Then there's, yeah, other times they're just popping up. But I guess now on my journey, it's, I think for the most part, it's easier to recognize when I'm parting and when I can stop it quicker. Or at least, you know, or maybe embrace it and say, well, what are we doing? Who's here? And I usually either journal or just let them tell their story, but then say, okay, we need to put this on the back burner. We need you to, you know, Tim's going to take over and we're just going to get through this a little bit. Yeah.
I thought I had, like, dissociation would have been this real interesting new idea to my kids. So I was talking to two of my daughters about it one day, and so I was trying to explain it really well, very academically, right? Because, you know, I'm mom, so that's, and I'm a homeschooler, so that's just what you do. And they're like, oh, mom, we already knew about that. I'm like, you did? Six. Yeah, you got lots of parts. I'm like, I do. You're like, now I'm shrinking and they're getting taller. And they're like, yeah, you walk different. Your speech patterns are different. You use different words. Sometimes you're just sitting there really quiet and we just, you know, you're just not even connecting at all. Other times you're really funny. I'm like, well, so much for that being.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing though?
Yeah. Yeah, I should have talked to them, you know, taken them to counseling with me. Yeah. You know, we would have had this solved a long time ago.
Yeah, right. It would have been a lot easier.
I know, because, like, I didn't think I had dissociation until, I think, 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, I know. All the other part, everybody else has that. But for some reason, I just, you know, I didn't get that.
Well, see, I think I was always, it was blocked for me for some reason. Or I just didn't want to see it at the time. And then I thought it was like depression or moodiness or just being tired or having relationship difficulties, whatever. It's just, it was always something else.
Right.
Yeah.
So can you tell me the roles that parts play?
Yep. I wrote them down, actually, a couple of them. I have doers. They do for me what I can't do for myself. And back in the rituals, they would do the things I couldn't do. What else? I have, some are organizers. Some are very disorganized and collectors. I have one that collects memories and puts them in a library.
Oh, wow.
from the rituals and anything else.
Oh.
Well, it's good and bad, but yeah, that was an interesting session when that came out.
Can you ask him to like burn some of those books?
I don't know if we want to. I don't know where we're at with that yet.
Yeah.
Because I have to be careful. I have to go back and remember. We'll see if we can revisit that. And yeah, what they are. I don't know. Yeah. Let's see. There, I guess other roles are, is they're part of my personality, you know,
yeah,
who I am. And some are friends. And then there's some that are stuck, and those are a little concerning, you know, stuck emotionally and developmentally, and those we definitely want to get healed. Let's see. Some were not always the nicest people, due to the things they had to do. And now I realize as I get, like, if I'm at work and I'm getting really tired and I'm getting frustrated at somebody, I'll have something fly through my mind, like, you know, who's talking, who's saying that, you know. Then I can do my, you know, own load of recovery work there and help them heal that.
Right. Yeah, protector parts.
Yeah. Yeah, Tim's a big protector. And I also have assassin parts. Yeah.
For during the rituals that they came out?
Yeah.
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 So how do you help them?
Same way we help the other ones. Listen to their story. Forgive them and offer them to go to Jesus. And I guess there's the other thing in there too, is we have to differentiate whether or not these parts have human heartbeats or not, and who's demonic and who isn't. So we do that.
That's
common. Yeah. No. A little bit, you know, but Jesus, you know, identifies that they can't get past him because, you know, he is the truth, and he helps filter that out. Yeah. Let's see, what are our roles?
I know I've had
one's a talker. Huh? One's a talker.
The talker, yeah.
Yep.
I know I've had barrier parts that they're keeping me from seeing,
mm-hmm,
parts of rituals. So that's very important too.
Yeah. I don't know if I've come across any of them. That's interesting.
Yeah, I had it once. They were sitting on this bench. It was like these three big, as I saw it, I don't know if it's a monster or, you know, what these things are. And, you know, brought Jesus in and we're talking, and this part shrunk down to one little girl. But her job was to keep me from seeing what was behind, you know, so like Jesus brought me and her out.
Yeah.
And then it was like he set up this video camera, right? And with a screen.
Yeah.
And then he put his hands over my eyes while he was playing it. And then he would just like, he opened his hand, let me see one little bit of it. And he's like, that's all I want you to see. You don't need to know the rest of it. And that was that. I was like, wow, thank you, God.
Wow, that'd be nice.
Yeah, I mean, we can't deal with everything that happened to us.
Yeah.
There's too many of them.
Yeah.
But that's weird.
I'm amazed at all the memories I have. And I try to look back and think, when did we do all this? We as my family and myself. Yeah, that puzzles me, and that kind of, I don't know, freaks you out a little bit, freaks me out.
But I think they did it. Like, I was talking to Patricia Baird Clark, and she's written books about SYSU ministers to survivors. The best she can figure is it happens a minimum of once a week. And then depending on satanic holidays and whatever the constellations are doing and what planets are doing what, they'll do extras. So then okay. It can be, so if let's say it's once a week, you got a lot of times growing up.
Yeah.
That's a lot. And then I think, too, that they want this demonic power, which is why they're taking their kids in the first place. And then you have to do more and more and more to get that same level of power.
Mm-hmm.
So then they're going to be upping how much they do it. And then when you're getting towards the end of their run with you, because eventually you're going to grow up.
Yep.
You know, then there's probably even a frenzied, oh, no, what are we going to do about this? We're losing them. Let's get out of them what we can while there's still time.
Well, we had, I don't know if we're going to talk about this now or later, but when that time came for me, I took another role on.
Right.
And then, yeah. So we went from rituals to, what would we call it? I'm basically impregnating people, being a breeder. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. But back. So that's, 52 times a year at least. So that's 52 memories over the course of who knows how many years.
Right.
Yeah. So,
that's a lot.
The other thing with parts is that for me, as a male, is having female parts. That's a little interesting, a little awkward at times.
Yep, I have the same thing.
Yeah.
Not so happy, but yeah.
Yeah.
But, I think too that that's part of our strategy of getting through. I mean, we don't have many options available. So like, ooh, a boy can handle this better. Ooh, a girl could handle this better. So then we create. Based on, and maybe their rituals are trying to force us into that. That's possible too.
I kind of came to that same conclusion. The things that we had to do would be better to be a female at that time than being a male. Yeah.
Right.
Less shame involved in it.
I was having issues with cyclical vomiting syndrome. I'd start throwing up, and it could be, I think at the most I'd do 8 hours of continual throwing up, just not able to stop, just awful, writhing on the floor in the bathroom, just nasty. When I was really little, I was really small when it started, and it's gone on my entire life. And I think it was back in January, a friend of mine said, Lisa, I think you're dealing with a part. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Really? And she said, yeah. So I started looking into it. Middle of the night, one night, I knew there was this part, and God's like, let's go get him. It's like, all right. So it was like, we went in, and it was like this part, it was a male part, but it looked like a little witch doctor, and it was chained by the throat, right? And there was a muzzle over his mouth, and he was like in this circle of fire, like all this crazy stuff. Yeah. And it was cannibal part.
Ah, okay.
And so it was like, well, do you want to talk to God, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit? He's like, oh, I'll eat him. It's like, send the Holy Spirit because I can't eat him.
Can't eat him.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, well, okay. Mm-hmm. And so then in talking to this part, the Holy Spirit's talking to him. And he's like, you can't take the muzzle off because I really like to eat things. I eat people. That's what I do. And it's like, you like to eat people? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I really, really like it. And so then it was like, well, then why are you throwing up? And he couldn't answer that. It's like he kept the cult program. I like this. This is what I do. This is who I am. But when it's like, then why are you throwing up? It was like, oh, I don't know. And then God was able to rescue him and bring him out. I haven't thrown up since.
Wow.
You know, I mean, that's how powerful this is. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Yep.
And only God knows how to deal with it, because I'm like, I don't know what to do about that. You know, it's like, I haven't had any training in this. You know, it's just me going to God. Middle of the night, it's not like I'm going to go call somebody and say, oh, I've got this really bad part. Would you help me deal with it? But God, it just, he's brilliant and so loving and so gentle with how, so logical, you know. Yeah. Just listening to him in this part going back and forth, I was just kind of an observer sort of a thing.
Yeah, that's, I find that very fascinating when that happens. You get to sit back and watch.
Yeah.
And back to your comment that God is very gentle, and he is. He's very patient with us, and he knows what each part needs and when it's time to heal. And that just, I don't know. It's a happy sad, you know. It brings tears to your eyes that, you know, he loves us that much, that he does that for us. It's interesting you mentioned vomiting. As I heal I get more nauseated.
Oh really?
I think parts are allowed to speak and be free and feel those things, which I've noticed too. As I come out of dissociation, I'm more aware of my body, the physical, emotional, mental side of it. I become more nauseated. And at times that's a key that, hey, somebody's, you know, I'm dissociating. If I'm nauseated for no reason, you know, in the middle of doing something, it's like, got triggered. Let's work on that a little bit, you know.
So. Yeah, I used to get really upset. Oh, no, another part. It's like really angry how, you know, you're getting in the way of my life sort of thing. Yeah. But now it's like, oh, another way I can heal. And don't we want to heal?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody wants to heal.
Yes.
Like, okay, let's go, you know, let's take God here and see what he's going to do this time. Because you know it's going to be really good.
Yeah. And you can look forward to that. But yeah, I get that. It's like, some days it's like, okay. Or I do something really, for lack of a better word, immature. I was like, oh, come on, not again. I thought I was past this. But so, you know, but the grace is, okay, I know what happened. You know, I know that's not me per se as an adult, but that's a part that needs out, that needs help, that needs healed. And yeah, you look at it that way. Yeah.
Now I have problems with movies. I can watch a movie, I can enjoy a movie, but the majority of movies I've watched, I can't tell you that I've seen them.
Huh.
So my daughter who lives with me is my movie cataloger. Someone says to me, have you seen this movie? I look at her. And she'll roll her eyes a few times and everybody laughs at me because it's the family joke now, you know. Yeah. She's like, yes, mom, you've seen that movie, or no, you haven't seen the movie, you know. And it's like, well, what am I going to do when you move out? Someday I'm not going to have anybody answer these questions for me. But yeah. Like, it's just kind of interesting. There's a movie watcher inside of me. I don't know who it is. I don't know why they come out during movies. They really enjoy them, I guess. I don't know.
I don't like movies.
Really?
I don't like movie theaters for sure. I avoid them at all costs. But I don't like a lot of movies that have a lot of emotional content. They trigger me. I get overwhelmed with them. I get forgetful in conversations. Like when I was married, I would forget things. And then I'd be told, you agreed to that, or you said that. Like, that gets you in trouble. Or got me in trouble, because then the other person's like, don't you listen to me? It's like, yeah, I listened to you, but no, I didn't. Well, somebody listened, you know. And at that time I didn't know what was going on, so
I've said some mean things to my husband before, and then when he brings it up to me and I'm like, I've never said he goes, yeah, you did. It's like, I would never say that to you.
Here's the recording.
like oops, yeah. Okay, somebody is saying this, let's try to figure this out. It's complicated.
It almost makes you look crazy.
Almost.
But But then you put in context of everything I went through to get me to this point. That's not crazy.
Right.
It's a blessing we survived. But I felt crazy for a long time. And maybe crazy is not the right word. It just felt incomplete. You know, and not in control of myself. And of course I wasn't, because I was partying all the time. It's like, you know, when you're dissociating all the time, you're not in control. So, and for me, I didn't like that. So I chased it. I tried to stop it or do something, you know. Then that ran me into addictions, ran me into being compulsive, ran me into other things, or fighting and arguing. And, you know, yeah, it was just a tailspin.
So you've been working on parts for 3 years. What healing do you see in yourself?
Oh, what healing? I'm much happier. My anger has dropped tremendously. What healing? I'm closer to Jesus than I've ever been. I'm closer to God than ever. I like myself now. I say it hesitantly because not like I didn't like myself before, but maybe I accept myself now. I don't know. I have joy. I just, true joy. Because I know who I am. I am a dissociative, I call myself a ditter. you know, I'm a ditter. And
I like that.
Yeah. So I want to start a club. We need to start a club of ditters. See who shows up. You can make all those jokes. yeah. But I don't know. It's just, I accept myself. My friends accept me. And I don't know. I'm just, yeah, I'm happy. And I'm not ashamed of myself, and I don't have to be, you know, and I can just be me and whoever that is today. So.
Right. So if there is an SRA survivor out there that's saying, okay, I want to go start working on my parts, how would they go about that?
I would journal. Start there. Well, I'm sorry. I guess you go to Christ first. Pray to him and ask him to open up your parts to you. And he'll reveal the right part at the right time for where you're at in your stage of healing. You know, and then journal and find somebody. For me, I would recommend find somebody that does the manual approach. And walk through that. Do some reading. You know, I have Marcus Warner's book, A DID Primer. I read that. It's a good one. The lady, Patricia Baird Clark, I'm reading her book. Her introduction is pretty good on dissociative. I just started reading that. Read, and you need to find people that pray, ask God to bring you dissociative people into your life that are healing. That helped me. Because when you have other people that are doing the same thing you're doing, it's amazing what that does. It normalizes it.
Right.
That was very important. And then they can call you out too, because they can usually tell better than everybody else. It's hard to fool them. So, I don't know, I would start there. But definitely just take it to Jesus and see what he does.
Should people go to their pastor and explain?
Oh, I know, that's a loaded question for me. Yeah. Oh, that's not fair. I don't know. I guess it depends where your pastor's at spiritually, you know, and if they accept that, if they believe it. See, that's all I'm going to say on that. We can talk. We're not recording on that one. That's it.
Yeah, I don't have a problem. All pastors should be willing to pray with you.
Yes.
No matter what's going on, if you say, I am a survivor of SRA, tell them what satanic ritual abuse is, whether they believe in it or not, mm-hmm. you should have a pastor that will at least pray with you mm-hmm. at the minimum. And if they can do that, that's great. If you have a pastor that's not going to support you or tell you that, that's of the devil, because
yeah.
I've heard all sorts of horror stories, it's not probably the church for you. So that's a rough one. I've heard people say, you keep that between you and God. Don't tell anybody, you know, like.
Oh, no, that's a lie from Satan.
Yeah.
No, that's just isolation. We don't want to do that.
Right.
But you do have to have discernment. Pray for discernment of who you're going to tell, who you're going to share. And I found that that God sent people to me. And that's, you know, and trust him to do that. Yeah.
Right.
Because, yeah. And it can be quirky situations, you know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I've had friends run out of churches. Like, she disclosed to one friend, and next thing you know, she was on the outs with everybody and, you know, very quickly. And there's churches, unfortunately, that are that way. There's churches with cult active members there. You know, it's... And I know some people now are afraid to go to church. They won't go to any church because they're terrified. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's a rough one too.
Well, along that, I work weekends, so I haven't been to church in a year, but I'm still growing and still walking with Christ. Actually, I'm closer than I've ever been, as I said earlier. But what I also found is in the churches I've been going to, they have a darker sanctuary. And then they have a stupid red lights, and red lights are triggers for me. So I would sit through these services and dissociate, and I couldn't figure it out. And I'd be uncomfortable, and I'd be irritable, and I'd be like, I sit there partying. I don't know, 3 or 4 or 5 of them be popping up. And so I'm missing the message. And I realized this about a month ago. It's like, I don't do that, you know? So I went to a program, and there again, they have their red lights. And, you know, it's like, I didn't miss that, you know? So I guess that's a warning for somebody. I mean, if you're feeling yourself that way in church, you know, it's not just Satan telling you you're worthless and blah, blah, blah. But if lights or something's triggering you, you know, give yourself permission to do something different or talk to somebody or, you know, to me, it's a warning. It's like, hey, you know, yeah.
Yeah, hopefully you have people you can talk to.
Yeah.
That helps.
Yeah. And yeah, not everybody will understand.
Right.
Even in the mental health field, dissociation is kind of, it's a topic that people don't understand it. And if you don't understand it, you kind of leave it alone, you know.
I think there's a, especially with our close friends, if they can understand, this is a thing for me, you know, I do have triggers, you know, and I find over time, I don't get triggered by the same things that used to trigger me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've worked on those areas. And as we heal, we get better, but there's still things that can throw us. And it's nice to have people around us that have our back and will notice what's going on and help us to walk through it.
Yeah, I agree with that. And the other thing I've realized is as I heal, I don't get as excited or disappointed with myself when I get triggered, since I know what it is. And it becomes, I don't know, a learning experience. And as I said earlier, I like to learn. So, you know, for me, the message is give yourself the grace to do that, to learn, you know, if you do get triggered.
Right. Thank you, John. Is there anything else you wanted to add?
I don't think so.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. I knew this was going to be really interesting. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Lisa.
You're welcome. Fun.